Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, Redeemer and Friend. Amen. When our dog Toffee first arrived from Singapore, and we took her to the Paraparaumu beach, and she enjoyed the beach because it was spacious and running around chasing other dogs and kind of people as well. But she wouldn't go into the water. And whenever the waves comes in, she would just quickly rush back. Maybe she was a Singapore dog. I don't know. Today I want to focus on the passage from the book of Joshua that was just read out to us earlier. In it, there's a verse it say that the living God is among you. That's what Joshua said to the people. The living God is among you. And that's why I want to call it, let's get our feet wet. Getting our feet wet. Now, we often say to one another, especially during or before traveling, say, may God be with you. Or, God go with you. These are familiar words that we say to one another. What exactly do we mean by that when we say those words? Do we say it with conviction? As recipient of these good wishes, like God be with you and travel with you and all these other things, do we believe it wholeheartedly? That is indeed, it's going to happen. Or is it just an insurance cover that we want to make sure that we have the protection that we need? Or even a lucky charm kind of phrases that we say to one another. What it's like to have God with us. God with us. In today's story, in the book of Joshua, Joshua said to the people in verse 10, this is how you will know that the living God is among you. That's an important statement, a powerful statement. This is how you may know that God is with you and the living God is with you. Also in verse 8, it says, tell the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. That's getting your feet wet. Go and stand in the water, in the river. And then later in verse 11, Joshua again says, see, the Ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Get your feet wet, but also remember that God goes with you and ahead of you. It is important for us to understand these statements and instructions. So what happened next? As we read from the book, scripture, that the Jordan at that stage was a flood stage, all during harvest time. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. A miracle happened, touching the water, the Ark of the Covenant, and God was with them, and God was leading the way. So the people crossed over opposite Jordan, or Jericho, I should say. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. When they first went in, they got wet feet. It was feet in the water. But when it got to the middle, it dried up. And then the whole nation of people, and it wasn't few in numbers, went past on dry ground. God decides the kind of faith that is willing to step into a flooded water, knowing that God will make a way. God will make a way. There are three important points we can draw out of the story. First one, let God be in the lead. Let God be in the lead. As the people of Israel stood on the cusp of possessing the promised land, God simply told them to follow him. The Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God among them, with them, and leading them. If they were to be successful in this or anything else, then they had to trust and follow God to lead them. It is the same for us today. Trust and follow God who leads us in each of our lives. Not only were they to let God to lead the way, but they were to follow. It's one thing leading by something or somebody, but if you refuse to follow, it won't happen. How often do we feel God's leading us in a certain direction and fail to follow him all the way through? Leading is important. The following requires trust and obedience. And sometimes we are short of supply in the obedience department. We also have confidence knowing that whatever God asks us to do, he knows it is good for us. He has planned for us. Not only that, he has been there before when Christ came into the world and he showed us how we can follow. The second point I can make is that expect God to overcome obstacles. Expect God to overcome obstacles. Here are the Israelites sitting on the east side of Jordan, looking over the river into the land that God has promised them, but separated by a flooded water, a flooded river. Talk about discouragement. How are we going to get across with all these people? How many times are we following God's will, yet we run into some obstacles? Sometimes we feel that if it's God's will, it has to be easy. It has to be smooth as glass. It has to be minus all the obstacles. All the doors will be open for us. That sometimes is the kind of expectation and the thinking we have. And when our sense of perception or expectation doesn't match the reality of that, we throw our hands up and we may even give up. Where is our obedience? Where is that allowing God to lead us? So why does God sometimes allow obstacles to be before us? God allows those in the way so that he can work wonders among us in the midst of obstacles. Let me draw on this story. In John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, that tells us, as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents?" Remember the story? "And he would be who that he would be born blind." Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So brothers and sisters, when we face with obstacles and challenges, can we say the same as Jesus said, so that when we face those tough times or whatever, God wants to display his glory, his wonderful, powerful work, and even miracles in our lives? Would you know that? Would we know that? How bright God's love is if it was never dark? God shines the light sometimes in the darkest moments. These are opportunities. When we face an obstacle, we see the wonderful hands of God working in our lives, in the lives of others, despite the circumstances, to show his glory. The third point we can draw from this wonderful story in Joshua is, get ready to get your feet wet. Get ready to get your feet wet. God commanded them to stand in the water with the covenant, Ark of Covenant, before he clears the way for them to walk past. This was a great show of faith. How far were they willing to go and still trust God? How far are we willing to go and still trust God? God doesn't want just a lip service. He desires and deserves a people who will trust him and follow him no matter what. In the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 16, it says, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Trust must have deeds and works to go hand in hand. And that is a display of trust and obedience. Otherwise, it's a denying of God's grace. Are we willing to have a faith in God that results in obedience, living a life that is pleasing to him? God truly wants to do great things in each of our lives, but we must let him lead. And sometimes that's not easy, to let God lead us. Expect him to do great things in the face of adversity. And finally, we must be willing to get our feet wet. Get our feet wet. Let me draw this to a conclusion. The instruction, the benefits, and the cost of and warnings out of this story, and also out of some other passages that we can share. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Instruction, benefits, cost, and warnings. Galatians chapter 5, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, even if we need to get our feet wet. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 17 says, do not turn to the right or the left, keep your foot from evil. How important it is to keep our foot on the straight path, not to sway to the left or to right, even if it means getting our feet wet. Matthew chapter 10, verse 18 or 38 say, whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Well, that's a hard truth. Take up the cross and follow me. Follow Jesus leading, but we have to pick up the cross, each of our own crosses, and follow. And the last one, book of Deuteronomy, It says, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today." There's blessing, there are curses. The important thing is to obey the command. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I commanded you today by following other gods which you have not known. So brothers and sisters, these are the instructions and benefits and costs and warnings to getting our feet wet. Will you follow? Will us follow? That's the question. Amen.